Hello, fellow story champions. My name is Simon Brooks. Welcome to Lindy Line, a story podcast. Here you will find old stories, some written by the likes of Kipling and Robert Louis Stevenson, E. Nesbitt and Louise Saunders, as well as ancient folk and fairy tales, retold by me for a modern audience of families. There are also some original short stories I have penned myself. I'll be retelling some of the classic folk and fairy tales and other stories that you may not be familiar with. Once, when all creatures could understand one another, and the realm of magic was as apparent as the clouds in the sky, and the fae were still seen sprinkling fairy dust into the eyes of those who were to see them. In those long ago times, there were stories. Are you comfortable? Then sit back and listen. Hello, how are you? After all the mild winter weather we've been having, it's starting to feel a lot more like winter now, with low, low temperatures. But I still go out into the woods with my dog, Mo. This story is about a girl who is fed up with the rain and is waiting for snow. In fact, just a few weeks ago, I know a lot of people who felt like that. She wanted to build a snow person, but it's pouring outside. The story is called The Leverites, and I have to say a big thank you to Ken Tookishman Smith for introducing me to The Leverites. In a small, wet town, about 20 miles from here, lived a little girl called Sarah. She spells her name with an H at the end, and that H is very important to her. Without it, she does not feel complete, as any Sarah with an H knows. Sarah lived in a house that had blue flowers in the front garden in the autumn and purple flowers in the back garden in the spring. It had a few dozen birch trees and lilac bushes, and some animals that played there. Very early one morning, Sarah was looking at the flowers through the wet window, wondering when it would stop raining and start snowing. "If it was snowing," she told her yellow toy rabbit, "I will go and play in the garden. I do wish it would stop raining." "What's the matter, princess?" called her dad. Sarah's dad always called her princess, because that is what the name Sarah means. "I want it to stop raining and start snowing," said little Sarah. "I don't like the rain, and all the animals hide when it rains because no one likes to play in the rain." "I don't think that's necessarily true," said Sarah's mother. Her parents left the room, and Sarah heard some rustling. Then Sarah's mum and dad returned. "Why," asked Sarah, "have you got raincoats on? It's not raining inside." "Where's your coat?" said Sarah's mother. "We're going outside to play in the rain. Come with us." Sarah screwed up her nose and scowled. Sarah's mother and father were a bit strange. When something went wrong, they just laughed and righted it. When something was spilt, they just said it was the floor that was thirsty. And when something broke, it was merely something that needed attention. They were that kind of strange. So it was really no surprise to Sarah that her mother and father wanted to go outside and get wet. With all three bundled up in rubber boots, scarves, coats and hats and gloves, they jumped into the car and drove out of town to a nearby forest. The forest was called Wanihi. It means the happy forest. When they arrived, they jumped out of the car and hand in hand made their way from the parking lot to the edge of the trees where the trail began. The trail they walked on went slowly uphill. "Listen," said Sarah's mother, "can you hear that?"
"Hear what?"
"Hear the rain playing with the trees." Sarah looked up at the big old pine trees and saw the raindrops fall and bounce and splash all over the needles and branches. Sarah listened carefully. She could hear the trees singing happy songs to the rain as it danced and played with the tall woodland giants. They wandered further into the forest until they came to a stream, bubbling and bouncing along its merry way. "Look," said Sarah's dad, pointing. "See over there on the bank." Sarah looked and saw an otter splash into the stream. "And there too," said Sarah's mother, pointing to a fish as it jumped out of the stream and dived back down under the surface again. The stream ran alongside the trail, back down the hill as Sarah and her parents walked up the hill and deeper into the woods. Sarah watched the rain fall between the branches and pound out a rhythm on the ground, like a quiet and gentle drummer. "Look!" cried Sarah, and she pointed to the ground. It was a worm popping its head out of the earth. Sarah's mother said, "Worms like the drumming of the rain. It makes them come out of the ground and dance." "Wow!" Eventually, the path came out from under the trees, and before them was a rocky valley leading to a waterfall. Sarah and her mother and father walked up to the waterfall as rain splashed down, washing mud off the path, cleaning the rocks. Sarah's father crouched down and pointed to some stones half buried in the path, two big, blue, shiny stones glistening in the rain. "Look at these," he said. "They look like snowman's eyes." Sarah bent over and looked at the two stones. "They're lovely, Daddy. Can we take them?" "No, these are levorites. They're buried in the ground and want to stay there. That's where they get their name from. Everything has its place, and this is it for these stones, unless they decide to move." "But what if they are snowman's eyes?" asked Sarah. "Then when it snows and I make a snow person, it won't have any eyes." "We can find other eyes for you. These are levorites, honey, I'm pretty sure. So let's leave them right here. Maybe we'll see some other stones for a snow person when it snows." Sarah's dad walked on towards the waterfall, and Sarah and her mother followed. As they passed the levorites, the blue stones wiggled in the wet ground. "All this rain," said Sarah's mum, "feeds the waterfall so it does not run out." The cold spray fell on their faces and tingled. Sarah wriggled her nose as it felt as if the waterfall was tickling her. After a little while, having listened to the song of the waterfall, they began to head back to the car. It seemed to be getting a lot colder. Sarah and her mother and father went past the levorite stones, and once again the stones wiggled in the ground. The family passed the worms, still doing their rain dance. They walked by the stream and saw the fishes jumping in and out of the water. They saw the otter had a friend, and they were now playing on the bank together. All the time the rain fell from the sky and sang its song on the trees, on the ground, and in the stream. All the time the levorites wiggled in the earth, and the rain washed around them until the mud was washed away. All the time it got colder and colder. Sarah and her mum and dad walked back down the path to the car. Steam was now coming from their mouths as they breathed heavily in the cold. Back up the hill, the levorites wiggled until they worked loose and began rolling and bouncing, following the trail Sarah and her folks had taken. Sarah ran the last part of the way with her arms outstretched, pretending to be an airplane. When the family reached the car, they stopped to jump up and down in the puddles to get the mud off their boots. Sarah's father got some dry shoes from the trunk of the car and crouched down to untie his bootlaces. Something caught his eye, and he looked up. "Wow," he said. "Would you look at that?" The two blue stones rolled to a stop between Sarah and the car. Sarah's mum said, "Maybe they're not levorite stones after all. Maybe they are snowman's eyes." She smiled and picked up the two stones that lay on the ground. Sarah's mum said, "Now when it snows, you'll have eyes for your snow person." And she handed Sarah the stones. Sarah held one blue shining stone in each hand and smiled. She had known all along that they were really snowman's eyes. And as the three drove in the warmth of the car to their home, that had purple flowers in the back garden in the spring, and yellow flowers in the front garden in the autumn, and a few dozen birch trees and lilac bushes, big popcorn flakes of snow fell silently from the sky. Sarah knew that when they got home there would be enough snow on the ground to make a happy snow person with two big, bright blue eyes. Then Sarah thought, for a very short moment, that the stones wiggled happily in her hands. So my cousin's husband, Ken, lives out in Oregon with my cousin. And although I lived out there, I didn't write the story until my wife and I moved back east. We loved Oregon and found it very inspiring and beautiful. But I feel more at home here in New Hampshire. Do you ever find cool stones and bring them home? Have you ever seen levorites and left them right there? Sometimes, when we find cool-shaped stones, we bring them home and paint them. One year, my family made a whole town of stone-painted buildings, and a few vehicles too. There was a library and a bookshop, of course, a school bus which was huge, a candy or sweet shop, and a fire station. We painted a few cars and some insects too. My favourite was a giant ladybird, or as you call it in America, ladybug. We even found an odd-shaped stone and painted a racetrack on it. Have a look at the photo on the podcast website. I've put some of the pictures there. If you were to paint stones, not levorites though, what would you like to paint on them? What would you change the stones into? If you have some stones already that you've painted, take a photo and send them to me. I'd love to see what you do. And if you haven't done this already, then give it a try. It's fun. And again, send me pictures. I'd love to see them. You can even leave them out in nearby woods for other folks to find. That's a fun thing to do. Anyway, I hoped you liked the stories. Thanks for listening to Lindy Line. I hoped you've enjoyed this episode. By simply subscribing and telling your friends about this podcast helps. And what helps more is leaving a review on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to this, as it helps others find these stories. Most podcasts have advertisers, and we don't. If you want to drop the price of a dog biscuit for Mo and the cost of a cup of tea for me, that would be lovely. It's hungry work out in the woods. You can also become a Patreon and pay as little as a dollar to as much as you think it was worth a month. If you become a Patreon patron, you can do that by going to www.patreon.com/SimonBrooks. And there you get extra resources and other goodies too, including the occasional photo or two of Mo, my wonderful rescue dog, and photos of our adventures together. Hashtag In the Woods with Mo. Once, when all creatures could understand one another, and the realm of magic was as apparent as the clouds in the sky, in those long ago times, I hope you enjoyed today's stories. This is where my telling ends.